good, man, I'm so blessed. I feel good. Hands up.
Hands.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
Welcome Gina to the radio Alexander broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
How God has been treating me. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to know that sometimes we're going to suffer. Amen. The Bible said that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Even though I suffer, the more I suffer, the more God gets the glory for my life. The more I trust him, the more people get to see who he is through me, because they see I can endure hardness as a good soldier. They see that I'm more than a conqueror because he loves me. They see that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. But you got to understand that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our own testimony. And at some point, we have to know that God is with us. The Bible said, if God be for us, then who can be against us? The Bible declares that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. Have mercy here. So he says, now, but as for me, he started looking at himself. Yeah. Now he was the worship leader in the temple. And all he had to do was wait on people to bring an offering, and he benefited. He didn't have to go and work and build a house. He stayed in the house of the Lord. Think about this. He stayed near the temple. Amen. And the tabernacle, I should say, because at that time they had not built the temple yet. But here he was complaining, but he didn't have to labor as other folks, because God took care of him. And, you know, sometimes that's how we are. We complain after looking at other people, not realizing it could be worse. Yeah. Remember that song, I'm blessed. Better than blessed, praise God. I complained that I had no shoes, but I saw a man who had no feet to use, and I realized that I'm blessed. Sometimes we need to realize that we're better than blessed. Yeah, it may not be what you want it to be, but God is working on it being what it needs to be. All right, let me go on now. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost backslid. I almost reverted. In other words, I almost gave up what I was doing to go do something else, because I saw they were working it out and we couldn't get nothing. I saw things were working in their life and things wasn't working in my life. I decided I might want to go try what they're trying. Oh, my God, today. And many times we do that. We move away. We go away. We try to do things that everybody else is doing. When God, you know, God is not only the God in the city, but he's the God in the country. He's the God on the hill, and he's the God in the valley, too. Do you know that God is everywhere? See, when you don't understand God and you don't know God, you start to be like the pagans. The pagans said, well, if we can get Israel, we can get them off the mountain and get them down the valley. We get them out of their position, and then we can defeat them. And you know, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you out of your position so he can try to defeat you. But we need them to know that it's not actually my position in physical position, but it's my spiritual position, because I am in him. It is in him I live, move, and have my being. I'm hidden in Christ. I put on the whole armor of God. I put on Christ. I'm buried in him. Come on and say amen. And I'm resurrected in him also. Thank you, Lord. But he says that my foot's almost gone. My steps almost slipped. And when we start talking about steps, let's look at Psalm number 37. He says that the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. And we got to understand that God orders our steps. What does that mean? That means every start, every stop, every stage you go through, every pit stop you make, every progress you take, every step forward you make, God has ordained that step. I wish I had somebody. And if every step I make, God is in it, then why am I worried about what's under my feet? I wish I had some. I need to just step. Come on and say, man, I need to be like Peter. I'm not worried about the water because I ain't walking on water. I'm walking on the word of God. I'm stepping on what his word says. He said that we can clear our pathway with the what? Word of God. Amen. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by God. And he delighted in his way. God likes to see you going in the pathway that he's got you going in. He said that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And I might fall, but you'll never know it. Because God holds me with his hand. So even if I slip and fall and it looks like I'm going down, God grabs me and lifts me up before you can see me fall down. I wish I had somebody say that I almost fell. I had some situations that almost took me out, but God lifted me. Do I have anybody? I had some things that didn't go my way, but God lifted me. I had some circumstances that was unfavorable, but God lifted me. I wish I had somebody in here that said, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. It was God that lifted. I didn't lift myself. He lifted me. I couldn't even lift my head, but I realized that he'll be the lifter of my head. I couldn't look to the hills for what's coming my help. He had to lift my head up and let me know that I'm here. I sit high. I look low. I don't slumber. Neither do I sleep, but I'll bless you. I'll watch over you because I love you. Anybody believe that he's with you? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That I'll be with you even until the end of the world. Y'all with me this morning? I see, I'm not going to be very long. I'm going to get out of your way. Amen. He said that. He says that I almost did. I almost. My feet had well nigh slipped. It just got to the point that Asaph said he wanted to do a Marvin Gaye. You know what that is. He just want to holler, throw up both my hands. Say, that's it. He wanted to just give it up. And he said, for I was envious. This is why. And I love the fact that Asaph was transparent. Sometimes being transparent will help somebody else. Because he was transparent, he helped me out. Because he was transparent, somebody else looked at this and said, I just don't understand why they getting by and I can't get by with nothing. Okay, let me. He said, I was envious at the foolish. You see, at the time, you don't realize they're foolish. Why they're foolish? Because they go about as if there is no God. They go about, live their life, and they say in their heart, they may not speak it out of their mouth, but they say in their heart, there is no God. I ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm going to live this life. I'm going to live this my life. I'm going to live it like I want to. And not realizing the Bible says, he that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. But he that loses his life, my sake, he said that ye shall find it or have life. Amen. He said that I was messed up because I got envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, when we start looking at the prosperity of the wicked, it means that they look like they can just get away with stuff, you know. And we start thinking about what's going on in the media and in the government. And we say, man, how in the world they get away with that stuff? You know, some of us have said, now, if some of that stuff that President Trump is doing, if Barack Obama would have done it, then it would have been a mess, right? That's what we say, how he get away with stuff, amen? And they make excuses for him over and over and over. And he just get away with it. But he said here that when I saw the prosperity of the what? The wicked, he said, I was envious and I realized that their bands, they had no depth. In other words, they had no boundaries. They just do whatever they wanted to do and seemed like there was no stopping them. They just had their way and they wanted to do whatever they thought they were mind to do. They went about and did it. They had no trouble as other men. They didn't have no situations that arose in their life to stop them, to make them repent. You know how Some people say, you know, it's going to take something for them to get right. It's going to take something for them to repent. And, you know, they had no situations that made them want to turn to God. They had no circumstances that made them say that they needed to come to the house of the Lord. Come on and say, man, they didn't have no plague. They wasn't sick. And it seemed like they just drank and smoked themselves. And in them, they had no blood pressure problem. And here you are trying to eat right. You don't eat salt nor pork. You gave up your favorite stuff. You can't even eat sugar because you got diabetes. And look like they just do what they want to do. Come on and say amen here. It seemed like they just get away with it. And Asaph was saying these things. If you read the entirety of the context, he said today we're getting away with this stuff. He said they got pride and they wear this pride like a chain and look like they just get away with the things that they shouldn't be getting away with. And he said that their eyes, they stand with fatness. In other words, they're greedy and they oppress other people. They do people wrong. They talk about them. They beat them down. They do the things that they shouldn't do to other folks. And here I am. All right. When he looked at the prosperity and the progress, according to verse 12, look at that. He says, behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world and they increase in riches. Look at this. He saw their prosperity, but not only was he seeing their prosperity, he saw their progress and he saw their place. They were in the world. Amen. They were in the world. They had no boundaries. They didn't suffer as other men did. And verse 6 to 8 talks about the pride, the greediness. He talks about how they brag about what they got. Amen. How they blaspheme and how they boast on the things that they have and how they worked. I did this myself. Come on and say amen. But he says in verse 13, look at what Asaph says. Now, in verse 13, it gets even more interesting because he starts to act out in pity. Because he says that, I've been serving the Lord and it's not paying off. Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. In other words, I've been trying to do the right thing. I've been having a good heart and a good heart ain't got me nowhere. You know how some people say there's a punishment for every good deed. You know how they say, I've been doing good, and it seemed like I'm the one getting punished. Anybody felt like that? Come on now. I know this word is for somebody this morning. Oh, I wish I had somebody in the house. We got to understand here that even though we cleanse our heart, and we can't fall into pity for ourselves, we can't start to say, you know what, serving the Lord ain't paying off for me after all. Serving the Lord ain't doing me no good. We can't say that because you got to wait. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall what? Reap if you faint not. We can't faint. You can't let your foot slip. You can't backslide from where you were. And sometimes we got to realize we slide back. Some of us don't want to backslide, so we just slide back. What do you mean? I don't backslide all the way into the world, but I slide back from the things that I know I can do for God. I slide back from serving. I slide back from singing in the choir. I slide back from my prayer time. I slide back from my devotion time. I slide back from witnessing to other folks because I'm looking at myself and not looking at the big picture in which God has given. I don't want to sow water so God can give the increase, so I just slide back and say, I ain't worried about nobody else, just my foe and no more. I'm taking care of me. I ain't taking care of nobody else. I ain't worried about them. And so we can't get to that point because of what's happening in the world, because we're focused on the wrong thing. I need to stay focused on the right thing. I need to stay focused on what God says for us to stay focused on. We need to stay focused on the coming again of Jesus Christ. If we forget that, we don't hear that preached enough nowadays. We don't hear that preached enough that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We don't hear that enough that he's coming back after his bride and he's going to adorn us and he's going to lift us. The Bible said we'll be caught up in the air to meet him. But all we hear about now is how to get rich. All we hear is you might have some bad habits. No, them habits is really sin. I wish I had somebody. I need to let go of that mess so I can get my heart right, so that when God does come back, the Bible said he that is unholy, let him still be unholy. Or unjust, let him still be unjust. When Jesus comes, it ain't going to be no let me get it together. When he cracked the sky, baby, that's it. There ain't no let me go repent. There ain't no let me go get baptized or whatever. There ain't none of that. When he cracks the sky, that's the end of it. And all you get to do is either rise up to eternity or rise up to eternal hell. I wish I had somebody. Glory be to God. But he said in verse 13, he said, I've cleansed my heart in vain. In other words, I had a good heart, but it ain't got me nowhere. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Look like people take advantage of you because you have a good heart. Look like they do things and it gets on your nerves, and now you got this indignation in your heart, and you got all of this stuff just burn you. It's burning you in your heart when they come. You know they taking advantage of you, but you getting angry inside. But you a Christian, so you don't say nothing. You a Christian, so you don't get out of place. But it's just getting on your nerves, and you find that other Christian that you can talk to and say, I can't stand them. They getting on my nerves. You think that's right? No, you need to cleanse your heart. You need to say, look, I got to get this mess out of my heart. The Bible says if a man come and he asks for your coat, give him your cloak also. Give him everything. Let him go ahead. He said, agree quickly with your adversary. This is the word of God. He said, if you ought to turn the other cheek, if they slap you on one, turn the other. I'm preaching what God said. Amen. We got to understand that. He said that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. He said, love your enemy. He said, if your enemy asks for water, give him water. If he asks for bread, give him bread when he's hungry. I wish I had a few people in the house, but we got to stay focused on the things that God said. Quit focusing on the things that Oprah said, and focusing on the things that Trump said, and focusing on the things that Don Lemon said on CNN. Quit focusing on Anderson 360 and focus on God. Quit focusing on your coworker and how they talk and what they say and what they're doing. Focus on what God has put before you. The Bible says forgetting those things. We got to learn how to forget. We got to forget those things which are behind us and reach forth to what is before us and press toward the mark. Anything get in your way, you ought to press toward the mark. I'm pressing. I ain't got time for no messing because I'm pressing. Because I'm pressing so that I can be a blessing. Come on and say amen in here. Glory be to God. We got to keep pressing, and it's good to forget those things which are behind you. In other words, if you can't forget it in your mind, but don't have the same hurt that you had when you first had the experience because they talked about you. Well, I was mad when they said it, but I ain't mad no more. Oh, yeah, when they tried to take advantage of me, yeah, I got bitter, but I'm not bitter anymore. I'm better. I wish I had somebody. Glory be to God. He says that. And then, so we go on. Let's try to get finished with this. He says, verse number 16. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. When I tried to understand it, when I tried to understand why they were prospering, I thought God was blessing them. God is in control. And I thought that when I start thinking about this, it just hurt my heart. That's what he said. It's painful. This started to hurt my heart. It started to get on my nerves. It started to work me over. And I couldn't sleep because of what was going on. But let's go to verse 17. And I'm going to get out of here. He said, until I went to the sanctuary. You see, if you never go to the sanctuary, you can't see what God wants you to see. He said, until I went into the sanctuary. We got to learn how. Listen, these three things. Don't worry. Witness and worship. That's it. Don't worry. Just keep witnessing and keep worshiping God, and you'll see God do something. He said, look at this. He says, until I went into the sanctuary. My heart wasn't right until I went in the sanctuary. My attitude wasn't right until I went to the sanctuary. The bitterness that I had remained until I went into the sanctuary. My heart was on something else, and I was focused on something else until I went to the sanctuary. Going to the sanctuary is like going to get your eyes dilated, getting them back in focus, getting them right. I wish I had somebody here. Sometimes we got, the Bible says that let our eye be what? Single. And so he wants to get us back in focus so that we don't see double. We're looking at the world, looking at God. We're looking at the world and looking at other people. I wish I had somebody in here. He wants our eye to be single. My focus is on the Lord. Come on and say amen. He said that I went into the sanctuary. Until I got there, he says, then I understood therein. The reason why we need to come into the sanctuary is not for me to just get up and entertain you, but it's for me to bring an understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. We need to get understanding. If we don't get understanding, we never will understand why we're in the situation we're in. And sometimes it's not because we did something wrong. Quit saying, I wonder what I did wrong. Quit saying that that's a trick from the devil. You know what you need to say? You need to say, it's because I got that word. That's why the enemy is on my track. The Bible says that when the word is sown, that immediately the enemy comes in and he's trying to choke it up. He's trying to destroy it. He does not want it to take root. He does not want it to work. I wish I had somebody. We need to learn that it's not because I did something wrong. Don't you know that God know what you're going to do? God is omniscient. He already knew that you were going to be a mess, huh? He already knew that you wasn't going to be what you were supposed to be, and so he already made provision. He sent his darling son, Jesus Christ. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do I have anybody in the house that's going to quit saying it's not because I did something wrong? Romans 8 tells us, he said, don't be condemned. Don't let your heart condemn you. He tells us that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. Somebody say amen here. As I'm trying to walk after the spirit, seem like there's some fleshly activity that happens. And Paul said it like this. He said that when I think to do good, evil is present. Now, if evil was present with the Apostle Paul, and if evil was present during Jesus' day walking on the earth, don't you know that evil is present during our day? Jesus said if they did it in the green tree, they're going to do it in the dry tree. That's why he told us in his word. He said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do you know that's why he said that? To let us know that there is an enemy out there. Even Peter said the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But he turned around and said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. All I'm trying to tell you is that if you can stand fast and hold on to God's unchanging hand, that everything will be all right. I don't care if the wicked is prospering. There is a day of judgment. Oh, come on and shout amen. That's why God put it in his word. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper, that any tongue rising against you, that you shall condemn it in the day of judgment. For this is the heritage of the servants of God. Now, what does that part mean? We always forget to quote that part. But that part means if that's how I'm supposed to live. I'm supposed to live knowing that the day is approaching. I'm supposed to live knowing that it won't always be this way, because I know a greater day is coming. The Bible says in Psalm number 1, he said that whatever we put our hand to, that it shall prosper. We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who will bear your fruit in your season. Do I have anybody? I know you've been saying, I'm looking for the day. But let me tell you something. The day ain't coming, but the season is. Preach up in here. We need to know the child of God. We don't have a day. We have a season. God has blessed us in the season. Come on and shout amen here. God has given us a season. Every dog have a day, and some have two. But the child of God, he has a season. Anybody say yes here? That I'm going to walk in my season. My foot's not going to slip. I'm not going to backslide. And I'm not sliding back. But whatever comes my way, hell or high water, I'm focusing in on God. I'm going to lift him up. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Do I have any witnesses that said, I'll draw them? Oh, come on and say amen. When the enemy messes up and tries to attack me, I'm just going to lift up Jesus and say, how you like that? He can't handle Jesus. He can't handle the truth. And he can't handle the word. The word has been sent to us so that we will prosper. The Bible declares he sent his word and healed us. The Bible says that he sent his word to prosper the thing where until he sent it. In other words, he sent a word this morning to prosper you along the way, to get you out of the pit, to pull you out of the pit, to put your feet on a solid rock so that you'll have a sure foot, so that when you step, you can step with confidence. I ain't worried about falling because I'm stepping on the word. I ain't worried about stumbling. I wish I had somebody. The Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. Even though he was 90-something years old, he stood on the word. He didn't worry about it. He said, God, you said it. And if you said it, I'm just waiting on it. Somebody see us here. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I may not see it, but I know it's there. I may not see Jesus, but I know he's there. I don't see the Holy Ghost, but I know he's there. Do I have anybody that say, I know he's there. I know he's there. Trouble in my way, but God is with me. Sometime I get dizzy and say, oh, this thing just taking me in a circle. But I stand fast and wait a minute. And I say, I'm going to praise him no matter what comes my way. The devil got me in a circle, but I'm still in Jesus. Come on and say yes here. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that Jesus died. Hanging on a rugged cross, went to a borrowed tomb that he needed for the weekend. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Somebody see, yeah, power to hold you, power to keep you. Now won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yes, say yeah. I know he's all right. Is he all right? I say, is he all right? Don't fool me. Is he all right? My foot won't slip because the Lord is all right. Say yes. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, we ain't gonna leave until I tell you what I know. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things, but one thing I know, I know he's all right. See ya, see ya.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling three jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David.